How are the solas of the Lutheran Reformation God's gift to all Christians? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for June is titled Grace, Faith, Scripture, Portrait of a Lutheran. It's published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040. You can read an excerpt and purchase Grace, Faith, Scripture at IssuesETC.org. Be sure to request the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for June. Grace, Faith, Scripture, Portrait of a Lutheran.
Why do so much of the rest of the press not get it right? Well, because they're covering a different sport. They're heavy metal fans at the opera.
A lot of times we don't know what we believe or why we believe it, but I think I'd go even further. A lot of times we don't know how we've come to believe what we believe.
What abortion is saying is that my life can be redeemed, that my life can have a kind of resurrection or newness to it only by taking the life of somebody else.
God's saying, forgiven, justified, perfect in my sight. How are we not going to hear those and then say, really?
Lutheran professors at the University of Oklahoma love listening to Issues Etc. Boomer Sooner.
Well, for decades now, the advocates of abortion have been trying to change the subject, haven't they? They've been telling us that this isn't really about abortion, the procedure. It's about a woman's right to choose. It's about a woman's choice, about her being able to control her own body, they say, and decide what to do or not to do with her body, her decision to keep or not keep. That's a very euphemistic way of describing killing her unborn child. They've said it's about choice. And then you see a story, this one out of Great Britain, about a judge who has decided for a woman that she ought to have an abortion. The judge made the decision and tried to force a woman to have an abortion. So what happened to choice? Greetings and welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in live on this Tuesday afternoon, the 25th of June. We're going to be talking with Holly Shear of The Federalist about a British judge's attempt to force a woman to have an abortion a little bit later. The president of the Mormon Church, the Living Prophet as he is known, has made some changes recently in Mormonism in order to appeal to millennials and Generation Z. We'll find out how those changes are made and what they are. Bill McKeever of Mormonism Research Ministry will be our guest. You can join us over the next hour, 1-877-623-6943. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, a tweet @issuesetc, or the Issues Etc. listener comment line, 618-223-8382. Joining us to talk about a British judge's attempt to force a woman to have an abortion, Holly Shear, a Lutheran pastor's wife and mother of four children in Cheyenne, Wyoming. She's author of a recent column for The Federalist titled "A British Judge Tried to Force a Disabled Woman to Abort Her Child Against Her Will." Holly, welcome back.
Thanks for having me on today.
So tell us this story of how a judge there in Great Britain tried to force a woman to abort her unborn child.
This is a pretty crazy story to have to talk about, right? You don't really picture having to talk about someone trying to force someone else into an abortion. Usually everything we hear about abortion is centered around choice, not force. So this is kind of a different angle to have to discuss this. What happened in the UK is we had this British judge who is part of a special court. It's part of their Court of Protection, which is a court set up for UK residents who have been judged without the intellectual capability to make decisions for themselves. So this woman, who has a lot of her details protected to kind of obscure her identity, which is a good thing in a case like this, is currently under the care of her mother. And so we know some things about her. We know she is in her 20s. We know that she and her mother are of Nigerian descent. And we know that she and her mother are both practicing Catholics. We also know that she is currently 22 weeks pregnant. And we know that at this point, a judge intervened, this judge with the Court of Protection, to try to secure an abortion for her. The woman's social worker said that keeping her baby was in the woman's best interest. The woman's mother, who is her full-time caregiver, is a trained midwife, someone who is, you know, capable of caring for a baby, of caring for someone through pregnancy, said that she was completely willing to assume care for the baby after the baby's birth. So we don't have any concerns here that this is a child with no one to care for it. And the judge still felt very strongly that the best thing to have happen here was for an abortion to take place. Some of the statements from the judge's decision, I think, need to be included in anything in this because they're really awful. She said, "I am acutely conscious of the fact that for the state to order a woman to have a termination where it appears she doesn't want is an immense intrusion." She said, "I have to operate in her best interests, not on society's views of termination." And in that one, it's important to keep in mind that before this judge was a judge, she was actually a trial attorney. And as a lawyer, over at least three separate occasions, she argued in favor of abortion rights. So her experience as a lawyer was in support of abortion. And now as a judge, we have her trying to compel a woman into abortion. And so that's kind of the backstory here. We have a disabled woman with a full-time caregiver who is willing to raise the baby, the woman's mother, and a judge who wants to see the baby aborted.
So there's also a connection to that tragic story of the death of Alfie Evans last year. What is the connection?
That story is just heartbreaking. I think everyone who watched that happen in real time, it's very difficult to get over that, that we had this child whose parents loved him desperately and tried so hard to have him leave the NHS system to get another opinion, to have other care offered, and they were blocked from being able to do so, right? They were unable to take their child out of the hospital where care was removed and take him somewhere else to have life-saving measures brought back. They had to actually watch their son die in front of them. And this is the same hospital service where this woman is receiving her care. And we see that once again, she has been judged to be less desirable, her child who is not even born. And we have absolutely no evidence that this child will have any sort of disability at all. We have good evidence from medical literature that just because a mother has disabilities, it says nothing about the child having any disabilities. But her baby has been judged as being less desirable. And the NHS is sitting here with this judge and saying, you know, maybe the best outcome for everyone is just to end this baby's life before it has even begun. And I think this should really be kind of a wake-up call for people on both sides of the abortion debate. You can't sit there and argue that abortion is all about choice and then quietly sit by and watch someone have their choice removed from them. This woman's choice, this woman's desire is to keep her baby, is to let her baby come to life, is to have her baby be with her. And the judge, the doctors, were trying to remove that choice from her. They were trying to take this baby away from her just because she's disabled. And that is evil. It is wrong. And I sincerely hope that people, no matter what their stance on abortion is, can stand up and say that this is too far. We need to oppose this.
A few moments ago, you mentioned the judge's track record while an attorney on the issue of abortion. Would it be fair to describe this judge as an abortion advocate?
Without knowing the judge personally myself, I think that is probably a pretty fair characterization. Her previous statements about abortion and the cases that she accepted in the past were definitely pro-choice causes and cases, and the UK has had some pretty big upsets in recent years, particularly in terms of Ireland and their abortion laws. And so the people in the UK who have come down in favor of abortion have been doing so very deliberately, knowing the changing landscape in their country on this issue. You are not doing this there passively. This is a deliberate choice, and engaging in that is choosing to be part of, you know, the changing landscape. She was part of that fight in Northern Ireland, and she said that their current laws were akin to torture and were discriminatory when they were pro-life laws. 5 years before that, she She argued that pro-life laws were a violation of the United Kingdom's Human Rights Act. Previous to that, in 2011, she represented the British Pregnancy Advisory Service, which was an abortion provider, and she argued in favor of British women being able to secure abortions at their own homes instead of hospitals. So she has been consistently over her public track record in favor of securing abortion services for women in the UK.
Do we know why this judge attempted, as you mentioned a moment ago, to legally override the mother's will, the grandmother who is the caretaker's will, and the assigned social worker's will on this particular case?
She said that she thought it would be less traumatic for her to have an abortion than for her to give birth to this baby and then for the baby to potentially be removed from her after birth and put in foster care. And I think if you kind of take that idea out and examine it in front of you, that the idea of having a baby and at 22 weeks, if you look at, you know, what happens during pregnancy at 22 weeks, a baby is big. It is developed. It is moving around, you know it is there. This woman is capable of knowing she has a real child present within her and saying that it would be less traumatic now to end this pregnancy, kill this child, as if that would make her forget this ever happened than to have her give birth to the baby and have someone else raise it. It's Orwellian. It's horrifying. You don't sit there and try to pretend a situation has never happened by killing one of the people in the situation. It's absolutely bananas to think that the death of the child is going to be easier on a woman, no matter what kind of disability she's dealing with, than life and being present in the life of her child.
We are always told that abortion is about a woman's choice. What does this case reveal about that commonly made assertion?
This reveals that it's, in the end, not actually about the woman's choice, that the end game, that the final destination of all of this is the state's choice, the judge's choice, the court's choice, that it's someone else's choice on what's best for you. And if it's the state paying for your care, if it's the state paying for your life, and it's the state deciding whether or not you should be allowed to have a baby, whether or not you should be allowed to have and raise a child. And that is sick. It's wrong. This judge isn't the child's mother or grandmother. This judge isn't the decider, shouldn't be the decider of life and death. And fortunately, she was overruled by a panel of three appellate judges. They decided that she was wrong to have done this. But the state should not decide who lives and dies. We should not be putting the power of life and death into the hands of the state like this. The state should not be stepping into our families and telling us which members of our family deserve to be alive and which members of our family deserve to die. And this is absolutely what this judge in this situation was trying to do. She was trying to look into this family's life, into this woman's body, and tell her that this member of your family should die in order for your life to be better.
Holly Shear is our guest. We're talking about a British judge's attempt to force a woman to have an abortion. On the other side of the break, there was a similar case in the U.S. in 2012. Holly will tell us about it. Voting takes place June 22nd through the 25th for president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. If you're a registered voter for the 2019 LCMS presidential election, please vote to re-elect Issues Etc. regular guest, Pastor Matt Harrison. If you're not a voter, encourage your pastor and your congregation's lay voter to vote for President Harrison. Official ballots have been mailed to all registered voters. Remember to vote June 22nd through the 25th.
An average of 20 military veterans kill themselves every day. Project Operation Barnabas is a network of LCMS congregations who reach out to veterans and their congregations and their communities with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Operation Barnabas is a program of LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces. Find out more at lcms.org/armedforces. Serving those who serve. LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces. lcms.org/armedforces.
Are you looking for a confessional Lutheran church in Southeast Oakland County, Michigan, just north of Detroit? Ascension of Christ Lutheran has been proclaiming the gospel and administering the sacraments since 1951. Ascension of Christ Lutheran is also a proud supporter of Issues Etc. Join us for the Divine Service every Sunday at 10:15 a.m. in Beverly Hills, Michigan. You can also find us on the internet at ascensionofchrist.org.
Defending life from beginning to end. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Nadia Bolz Weber calls for a sexual reformation in her latest book, Shameless. How does her reformation compare with the truths rediscovered during the 16th century Reformation? I've written a review of Shameless in the latest Issues Etc. journal. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button on the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Pastor Andrew Abraham details his journey from Catholic priest to Lutheran pastor. The free online Issues Etc. journal.
Discover a truly Lutheran approach to education. Concordia University Chicago's Center for the Advancement of Lutheran Liberal Arts supports a vibrant, growing community of classical educators. Whether you're a teacher, administrator, parent, or homeschooler, we have the resources and contacts you need to start a child's journey into the Lutheran Liberal Arts. Visit cuchicago.edu/calla. That's C-A-L-L-A.
Lutheran Talk.
In Lutheranism, I come as a guilty sinner in need of hearing the forgiving words of Christ every single time I gather. Every single time.
Lutheran Music. The new Lutheran Public Radio app. Download for iPhone, Android, Windows Phone, and Kindle at issuesetc.org.
We're discussing a British judge's attempt to force a woman to have an abortion with Holly Shear of The Federalist. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. Here's a little bit from the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for June. The message of God's love is the foundation of our relationship. It is because God loves the whole world that he sent his son to die. In addition, it is because he loves the whole world that we know he loves us. He cannot say that he loves the world, but then say to one of us, but not you. You'll find more great insights just like that in the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for June called Grace, Faith, Scripture, Portrait of a Lutheran. You can find it at our website, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House and ask for Grace, Faith, Scripture, Portrait of a Lutheran. Their toll-free number, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. Holly, there's a case, actually, that you mentioned in your Federalist piece that is similar to the one we're discussing here in the U.S. back in 2012. What happened there?
Back in 2012, in Nevada, actually, I believe, a woman who had some similar disabilities, her name was Eliza, was pregnant, and a court tried to secure an abortion against her will and against her parents' will, and the Alliance Defending Freedom helped her secure legal representation to fight for her baby's life, and ultimately they were successful. But it's a really good point that you raised, that we need to not feel like this is something that's happening elsewhere, that this is only a problem in the UK, or this is only a problem that other people are dealing with, because this is a problem right here. This is a problem right here for our families, and we need to prayerfully consider how we can support all of the families around us, because our courts are already challenging the rights to life for our families right here. Families like those of Eliza. She was adopted from Costa Rica, and when she was adopted, she had some disabilities. She had fetal alcohol syndrome, I believe. And her parents raised her and her other adopted siblings, and she became pregnant. And her parents and her made an adoption plan. So once again, there was already a plan for this baby. There was never a concern of, you know, what would happen. And then the courts became involved. And as soon as the courts became involved, they tried to compel her to have an abortion against her will. And once again, it had to sit there and override what the judge initially wanted in order to let her choose life for her child. And it's really terrifying to think that this is even reaching the level of going before a judge, whether or not a woman can continue her pregnancy. This is something that I think everybody should be contacting their elected officials about to demand that these kind of things stop, and that they stop today, that no more of this should happen, and it should not happen to another family. That we need to make sure that every family is protected and that every baby is safe, and no more of these intrusive, terrible things happen to another woman.
How do you respond to someone who says, look, this is a big, notorious case that's made the news in the last week, but it's just an outlier? We don't need to be concerned about this happening again. It's one judge and one case. What's your response, Holly?
Well, I think the scary thing is that, you know, with our news cycle, there are so many cases that are similar that, for whatever reason, don't catch media attention, that they don't secure that same news fervor that this case caught. And very fortunately, this got before the eyes of the right people, and they were able to get the support and help that they needed so this family could be safe. And I think we need to always keep in mind that it's never just one case. It always starts out with one case and they kind of test the waters, but it never stays that way. That the problems of today will always snowball into bigger problems. It's never safe to say that, you know, well, it just happened once and then it went away. It's always going to become a bigger problem. Culture is not our friend. Culture is not safe for our families. We need to make sure that we stick together and that we support each other and that we pray for all of the people in our lives and help them, that we actually look at them when they're having problems and don't assume someone else will be the real help in their daily lives that they need, because I think the real truth of the matter is that there isn't always someone else. This family needed help, and they needed the people in their lives to reach out and find legal representation for them. They needed people to help support them so this mother can not only care for her daughter, that she can be prepared to care for her grandchild. If you know a family in your church, in your community that needs help, there isn't always someone else. That someone else might be you.
There are places in the world like China where forced abortions are commonplace, even though they are illegal, but they do take place under their one-child policy. What lessons do we need to learn in that extreme case?
I think we need to learn the lesson that children are a blessing, and that means every child is a blessing. And when we lose that knowledge, when we lose what that really means, it allows things like forced abortions to happen. When we stop believing that every child is important, it kind of allows that bar to be pushed a little bit further back, and we start having things like that happen. You know, I hope that China can turn that around for the people there, and I think it is terribly, terribly sad that that has gone on for so long. And when you look at the societal problems happening because their birth rate is so out of order now, that they have such a disproportionate number of men to women because they have killed so many of their women. You see what can happen when we despise God's gift of children. And it's kind of a harsh wake-up call for the rest of us on what happens when we don't believe God's word about children.
Well, the fact of the matter is, as you well know, Holly, that many voluntary abortions or unforced abortions here in the U.S. and worldwide are still performed under coercive circumstances. Women commonly report having abortions to please a partner or a parent or someone else in their lives. What are your thoughts on this?
Yeah, it's absolutely sadly true. I think one of the best things we can do is listen to the women around us about why they feel forced into abortions, and then look at how we can help them and how we can help make abortion unthinkable and how we can help support them so they feel like they have other real options, how we can sit there and come into their lives and actually support them that way. If they have a parent or a partner forcing them, that we can help them escape that situation and make a better choice for themselves and for their children so they're actually safe, so they can actually raise that child, so they can actually save their child's life, so they can actually save their own life. We should be looking at these families and helping them make better decisions instead of just passively feeling like there's nothing we can do. There are a lot of things we can do, and there are a lot of things that can be done to help change views around children and to help women know that they are able to have these children and that they are loved and their children are loved, and it's going to be okay.
Holly Shear is a Lutheran pastor's wife and mother of four children in Cheyenne, Wyoming, author of a recent column for The Federalist titled "A British Judge Tried to Force a Disabled Woman to Abort Her Child Against Her Will." You can read it under the Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org. Holly, thank you.
Thank you so much.
On the other side of the break, Bill McKeever joins us. We're going to talk with him about some changes made recently by the Living Prophet of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints in order to appeal to millennials and Generation Z. Stay tuned.
Church music directors can find a new community at Prelude to Postlude, the CPH music blog. Learn helpful tips for managing music ministry and involving members, and meet the composers of some of your favorite new pieces. Plus, find suggestions of music to use for special services, and preview some of our newest works with free samples you can use at your church. Visit us at preludetopostlude.org.
From fast facts to FAQs, overtures to offerings, get the inside scoop on the upcoming National Convention of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod in the June issue of The Lutheran Witness. Special pre-election coverage includes biographies, personal statements, and interviews introducing readers to each of the three men nominated to serve as Synod President. Visit cph.org/witness to subscribe today. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran Christian perspective.
Common and experienced firsthand by sitting down in classes and actually hearing professors, coming to chapel, which is always the high point of the day, to hear the Word of God and to lift our voices in song.
Issues Etc. regular guest Dr. Paul Grimm on why you should consider visiting Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Spend time talking to professors. I mean, there's not a professor here who will not be willing to take time, whether it's after chapel during the coffee hour or just to come into one study and sit down and talk for a while, to answer questions, to help them to get a sense of, A, do they want to be a pastor or a deaconess? And then B, is this the right place? And, well, maybe C would be the question, is now the right time for them to make that decision?
If you've contemplated the vocation of pastor or deaconess, contact Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, 1-800-481-2155, 800-481-2155, or send an email to admission@ctsfw.edu.
Your comprehensive source for information, teaching, and truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
The church's music from the second century.
Shepherd of tender youth, guiding in love and truth.
The sixth century. The 12th century. The 16th century. The 21st century.
As my voice and
the best of the church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.